Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, August the 18th, 2016, 1:18 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're tuned into the Now program with Scott Spears. And I want to remind everybody to stay tuned tomorrow to the Exchange Club. It will be a lot of fun. We have a lot of current events that we want to talk about tomorrow. That's the Exchange Club tomorrow here on WWGH Radio, 12:15 until 1 p.m. And today we're very proud to welcome to these microphones a guest we have on once a month. She is the former 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
I'm just fine, Scott.
Oh, always good to see you.
You too.
Last time you were in, it was after the day after the Democratic convention had ended. What's your feeling on how Secretary Clinton's been doing since then?
Well, her numbers are improving, but we're just in August. It's got a long way to go yet.
It's been an interesting month on the other side for Donald Trump. It started right after the convention when he had some comments to make about the Khan family. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to be the first time that a comment that he made really affected his poll numbers. Why do you think that was the one?
Well, it was such a nasty way to reply to what they had said. I thought to say that his wife, you know, maybe wasn't allowed to speak, and it was just rude, you know.
Being that you have competed in elections, ran for public office, and seen a lot of presidential elections, the comment about the Second Amendment that he made, how did you take that when he said it? About,
I thought he meant that they would take, when he said they would take care of it, you can either guess somebody would try to do something, or maybe he meant it as far as advertising, but it's hard to know what he actually meant, but it didn't come across very well.
That bothered a lot of people.
Yeah.
Is that scary? Is that going beyond a line, even in political campaigning?
Well, I thought it was, mainly because we've had so much trouble with people shooting each other, and it's such a hot issue in the campaign, and it was just inappropriate.
A person who's been in the forefront of the Republican campaign this last month, certainly more in the forefront, is Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York. What have you made of him stepping up, being such a pitch man for Donald Trump?
Well, you know, he ran against Hillary when she ran for the Senate, wasn't it?
Yes, in New York.
And you never really get over disliking your opponent. I think he still really dislikes, and I think that's the reason he's the way he is on this campaign.
I was watching some footage the other day of the 92 election. And for those who don't remember, that was Bill Clinton's first presidential election and George H.W. Bush, who was the sitting president. And both of them seemed to feel at that time that that had been the nastiest presidential race up to that point because of the advent of cable television and things of that nature. Do you think this is worse than that was?
Oh, I do. Oh, far worse. Yeah.
What has happened? What has changed?
It's whoever is driving it to make it worse, and I would say Trump, because Hillary certainly isn't driving it in that direction.
Why do you think it's tolerated by people?
What can they do?
Do you think somebody 25 years ago would have gotten the party nomination?
Well, that's true. I mean, I think they are upset. I think most of the people are upset that Congress will not work with the president. I think that's the most upsetting thing there is as far as government, as far as I'm concerned. And when you should go after the people in Congress. That's where you need to change everything over. and maybe they will.
Would you have a worry if it was not Donald Trump, if campaigning for or just favoring Hillary? Do you think she was beatable by one of the other candidates?
No.
No. Mm-mm. You think she could have taken it anyway?
I think she could have beaten any one of those people. I think the hardest one would have been Chris Christie.
Why do you think that?
Because he's a prosecutor and he is so... It's the way he approaches everything. I think he's very like Trump, and naturally he's supporting Trump. But I haven't heard anything of him lately. He must be very busy in New Jersey.
Well, it's interesting. There was a story yesterday about him that Donald Trump had $30 million of tax debt in New Jersey after the casinos were bankrupted. Let's just read the whole story here so people have a full aspect. It says, by the time Chris Christie became governor of New Jersey, the state's auditors and lawyers had been battling for several years to collect long overdue taxes owed by the casinos funded by his friend Donald Trump. The total with interest had grown to almost $30 million. The state had doggedly pursued the matter through two of the casino's bankruptcy cases and even accused the company, led by Mr. Trump, of filing false reports with state casino regulators about the amount of taxes it had paid. But the year after Governor Christie took office, the tone of the litigation shifted. The state entertained settlement offers, and in December of 2011, after 6 years in court, the state agreed to accept just $5 million, roughly 17 cents on the dollar, of what auditors said the casinos owed. What do you make of a story like that?
Well, you know, that sounds like Trump. He was stiffing the small business people and everybody, you know, not paying them what he owed them, and sounds like the same sort of a situation with this.
He has had a bad month. He's fallen behind in a lot of states. Hillary, I hear, pulled out of Virginia because she's so far ahead there, and that she's over 10 points ahead in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And she's now campaigning in states like Georgia, which Democrats don't usually win. But so in the midst of this, Trump has basically turned over his campaign to Stephen Bannon, whose news site, Breitbart.com, defended white supremacists and compared the work of Planned Parenthood to the Holocaust. Is he struggling?
Well, I would say so. And the woman, what's her name, do you know?
Who's in the campaign now?
Yeah.
I know who you're talking. She just came in.
She sounds more reasonable to me. I don't know why he'd want this other person.
Roger Ailes is being rumored as coaching him for the debate.
Well, Roger is quite a person to coach somebody, I would say.
You know, even to talk about this election is different than the last one.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about Mitt Romney and Obama.
Yeah.
It's not like this.
No.
There's a different feel.
Yeah.
Is it because he's not a politician? Is it because he says such unbelievable things?
Well, I think he's the way he is. I don't know. He's not going to win, I don't think. So I don't think we're ever going to be able to call him a politician. But if he had come up through the ranks like most people do, I think it would have polished him, and it would have taught him how he was supposed to treat other people. That's where he has a very bad record of how to treat other people, and that's a terrible thing for a president.
Do you think he ever wanted to be president?
I felt like maybe that was the case. Sometimes when I've listened to him, I thought, well, he's just doing this maybe to get himself ahead in television and to have his show or whatever he's got planned. Maybe he has some big deal planned that this is just getting him a lot of attention. And who knows what he's got on his plate. But when he gives a speech where he reads it, it's terrible. And when he, you know, I don't even want to listen to him. But I do listen to him when he gives it off the cuff, because it's more interesting. Of course, you never know what he's going to say. But it's that controlled reading that he does that is so, it's nerve-wracking to listen to.
Last time you were here, after the Democratic Convention, the candidates had been chosen, but I don't think we, vice presidential candidates, but I don't think we talked too much about it. We talked about it last time you were here, and really these were two that we didn't feel were going to get the nod. What do you make of Pence being chosen as vice presidential candidate?
Well, you know, he's covering for Trump. He gave the endorsements before Trump did to try to level everything out. And what else are you going to expect, you know?
Do you like Kane as Hillary's?
I haven't heard very much of Kane. I liked him when I heard him speak at the convention. I really can't say that I've heard him that much since then. But I think she likes him, and that's what's important.
The only thing really between here and the election, which is now 80-something days away, are the debates. There will be three presidential debates and one vice presidential debate.
Yeah.
How do you see it matching up between Pence and Kane in that one vice presidential debate?
Well, I think Kane will do a good job. It'll be an interesting debate.
And being how the Republican debates went in the primary, how do you see those three Trump-Hillary debates?
You know, that's the one. You never know how he's going to approach it. Did I ever tell you about my debate?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I was supposed to, well, when I ran against Buck Reinhardt, the first time I ran for state treasurer, he decided he wanted to debate me. And I thought about it, and I thought, I don't think I'm going to do this. He's got the Columbus media on his side, so I refused to debate him. And a lot of my friends thought I'd lost it right there. But he went ahead and had the debate without me on television. They said in the dispatch the next day, they said he debated himself and lost because he gave out some wrong information. And it was probably the best thing I ever did, because I knew he had been working for a long time on the things he was going to present at this debate, that he was doing all these charts and everything, you know, you can imagine. Mm. And I think Hillary is such a good debater that whatever he throws at her, she's going to be able to handle it, because she's good.
It's going to be very interesting. I think we have a call here, if you want to put on the headset there for a second, Mary Ellen. Okay, I think we're going to go to the phone lines here. Caller, are you there?
This is Ruby Gillum.
My goodness, Ruby! I saw you on television.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I had been out, and I just got back when you were finishing up the Pledge of Allegiance, and I said, my gosh, that's Ruby. And I was so excited, and then I saw it when you turned, and I saw on your back, you know, it had Waves International or something on your jacket. And I was so glad to see you and know that you were able to get to the convention.
Well, you know, I'm going to be 94 in November.
Oh, 94. Okay. I knew, you know, I went to your birthday party.
I know you were, yes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yes, and I enjoyed it so much. When I was so surprised, I was just overcome, you know. I thought I was going to a wedding reception.
Oh, yes. They were trying to surprise you, yeah.
And the reason that I did the Pledge of Allegiance was because I was the oldest delegate at the convention.
Oh, were you? Yeah.
And that was really an honor.
Yes.
You know. And
that was a tremendous honor.
My son said, Mother, you didn't say under God. And then I said, well, you know, in the military, you do not pause. Oh, when you say one nation under God.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't pause and everybody else did, but...
Yeah, well...
But anyway, it was kind of a little mix-up, but it all went okay.
Well, heck yes. I thought you did a great job. I didn't see it all, but I think it was a success.
Yeah, and we should mention, this is for the listening audience, this is 93-year-old Ruby Gillum. She was the oldest delegate at the Democratic National Convention and did the Pledge of Allegiance and has a tie to Mary Ellen. You talked about her last time you were
yes.
on the show.
Yes, she Ruby worked for me. When I was state treasurer, she represented me up in the Carroll County area. She was county chairman up there. She defeated a whole bunch of men to get it. And are you still county chairman, Ruby?
No, I have a real good vice chair that I turned it over to Jane Emender last year. And I could see that with my vision the way it is, that we needed a younger person in there, and we're doing real well. We're really doing well. We have a beautiful headquarters, and ready to go. I didn't know if I was supposed to talk politics or not.
I'll go right ahead.
And well, that's what we're talking, yeah. Ruby. We're talking politics. And did they seem pretty well organized in your area?
We are real well organized.
Good.
We're having our opening of our headquarters. We don't have a permanent headquarters, so we're having our opening on the 28th. So.
Yeah. How did you happen to get this on the radio? Do you get the station there?
What station?
This one that we're talking on, how did you happen to hear us?
Well, I think the young man that's talking to you called me last night.
Oh,
okay.
I called Ruby up.
Oh, okay.
Am I supposed to tell? He called me last night about 10 o'clock and asked
me talked.
If I would do this.
Oh, well, good. Okay. Well, I'm so glad to talk to you.
Well, I'm glad to talk to you, too. And I will tell you something else that had happened to me. You know, I was in the Navy in World War II.
Yes.
And, you know, I ran the computers for all the military.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. And I was just, 2 years ago, I was inducted into the Ohio Veterans Hall of Fame.
Yes, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah, right.
Yes, and that's the highest honor I could ever give in my life.
Yes.
And being able to carry on, and I do a lot with the veterans also.
Do you?
Well, yes, we have a women's group and a women's veterans group, and I've been helped organize that about 25, 30 years ago, I'll be working the Canfield Fair.
Oh, I remember the Canfield Fair.
Remember how big that fair
yes,
is?
Yes, it's one of the best fairs in Ohio.
Yes, and the women veterans, we have a booth there.
Oh, yeah.
And the fair is during the Labor Day weekend, so I'm going to work 2 days there for the women.
You know what I remember, Ruby, many things about you, but one time when you picked me up at the airport, I think it was in Akron, and we were supposed to be somewhere there and close by, and you didn't. We weren't sure how to get there, and you said you didn't have a map, but we made it. And
remember, I kept saying we were going to be late.
Yeah.
And you said I don't like state patrolmen, and I thought, well, if we get stopped, that's who's going to stop us.
Yeah.
We really flew on that one, didn't we? We made it just in time. I remember.
Well, Frank was it? What was Frank's name?
Pardon?
Frank that met us, that he said, where have you been? I said, don't ever ask me that again.
Oh my, so many things that happened.
Yeah.
That you can think back on and wonder, how did I ever do it? How did we ever make it?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we made it.
We made it. Yes, we made it. We really did.
And it was because we tried.
Yeah, and then when in the primary, you know, you had all those men that were running.
Yes.
And all of them, they all saw Billy. I think Billy Joe Brown was running, wasn't he?
He wasn't running against me. He was my
But anyway, they have all the men that were running asked me to support him, and I said, I'm supporting Mary Ellen with the Rhodes.
That's right. Well, we were on an elevator one day with one of the other candidates, and I know he asked you to support him, and I was standing right there, and you said, I'm supporting Mary Ellen Withrow. I said, you won me over right then and there.
Hey, Ruby, I wanted to ask you a question. You mentioned your age earlier on, soon to be 94, and that's great. You were born 2 years after women got the right to vote. What does it mean to have a woman running for president right now?
Well, I was hoping I would live to see it, I remember my dad was always running for an office, but he never did win, but he kept running. I grew up in a political family, and to have a woman running for president, it's almost unbelievable, you know, but it's happening, and we're going to make sure that she wins. But just like when I was at the convention, and they would ask me about supporting Hillary, and I said, voting for her because she was a woman, I'd say, well, it's not only because she's a woman.
Right.
It's because she's the most qualified.
That's so, right, yeah.
But anyway, I think it's great, and when I go to the inauguration, then we can all drink everybody on their table. Listen, I don't even drink, but that's the one time I think I would.
Well, it could be coming, Ruby. The polls are looking that way. What are you doing this election? You went to the convention to help get Secretary Clinton elected.
Yes, and what am I, what?
Are you out campaigning for her?
Oh, yes. We're opening our headquarters. Yes, I was county chair here, it seemed like, for all my life. And somebody asked me, said, Ruby, I was the second woman county chair in the state. And somebody asked me, how did you get to be county chair? I said, all the men died, evidently. Because at that particular time, you know, women didn't do that. And all my life, you know, growing up at my age as a little girl, it was, little girls don't do that. Little girls don't shoot marbles, but I was a champion marble shooter. And little girls don't do this. Ride bareback pony, but I did, you know, everything little girls weren't supposed to do. And now that we have a woman running for president, it's the greatest thing. And I'm working as hard as I can to get Hillary elected. I'll be out there on the stump for her all over this part of the state.
Did I tell you, Scott? I don't know. I might have said this, Ruby. I'm going to tell a little something about you here. Ruby gave a speech one time for the Democratic women, called The Other Side of the Mountain, and she had grown up, where did you grow up, Kentucky or West Virginia?
What did you say?
Where was your home when you were growing up?
Where was I, what?
Where did you grow up? Where were you when you were growing up?
When I was doing a speech?
Was it Kentucky or West Virginia? Where did you grow up, Ruby?
In the mountains of Kentucky.
Okay, well, she gave this speech about the other side of the mountain, and she had, there was, I guess it was...
When I made a speech, I made what I said, John L. Lewis was our salvation, and FDR was almost God. That's the way we felt about it.
Right. Well, and you didn't know what was on the other side of the mountain until you grew up, right?
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Oh, are you? We're okay.
Trying to hear a little bit.
Yeah.
There. Is that a little better, Ruby?
Yeah, that's better, yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, I was wanting them to know that you didn't know what was on the other side of the mountain until you grew up, which I just thought was fascinating, you know. Yeah.
Well, I really didn't.
Yeah, right.
No. All I knew that was on the other side of the mountain was the state of Virginia.
Yeah.
And because I lived right on the Virginia-Tennessee-Kentucky border, you know.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't know that was about it, but...
Well, Ruby, I really thank you so much for calling in. Before I let you go, just do you have any thoughts on the other candidate running for office, Mr. Trump? I think that says it.
That's good, Ruby. I like that
I
answer.
I think that says it all.
Well, you know, when I was at the national convention and everybody was interviewing me, I would tell them, you know, I'm not negative. So I didn't say one word against Mr. Trump. But the last interview I had with CNN, I asked him if I could give Mr. Trump a message. And they said, oh, sure. And I said, Mr. Trump, there's one thing that you can't do, and that is make America great again. Because America has always been great and always will be great. And my country, this is my country, and it's the greatest nation in the world. Then I gave them an account about our forefathers came over here and gave their lives, and all the people that had given their lives to preserve the United States for us. And, you know, what the young man that was interviewing me, when we finished, he stood up and he turned around and he hugged me, and he said to the people standing there, will you please take my picture with her? So,
oh, isn't that sweet?
I kind of hit the nail on the head a little bit.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yes, but I will, and it's the truth, you know.
That's right, it is the truth.
And I'm wondering why some candidate hasn't hopped right on that, because this is the greatest country in the world. And,
right. Yeah.
And to hear him say he's going to make it great again, it's always been great and always will be great.
All you have to do is travel to some of the other countries and you're so glad to get back.
Get back, yes.
Yeah.
But that was the message. That's the only message that I gave that other that person, Mr. Trump. I wouldn't call him Mr. Trump.
Ruby, I cannot thank you enough for calling in today, and good luck out there on the campaign trail, and maybe we'll check back in with you and see how things are going. And
okay, and I want to thank you so much for this opportunity. I hadn't talked to Mary Ellen for a long time, and she and I, we traveled together a lot when she was, you know, when I worked for her.
Yes,
and,
we always had a good time, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We sure did. And we made it on time one way or the other.
That's right.
Even if I did have to put they call it, the pedal to the metal.
Right.
Well, I had a fast foot anyway.
Do you?
You know, somebody said, my son said one day, Mother, where were you going so fast today? And I said, well, I didn't see you. And he said, well, no, you don't see very much when you go 90 miles an hour.
Ruby, you stay well. Thank you so much.
Well, and thank you, and Mary Ellen. It's been wonderful.
Yes, right,
thank
Ruby.
You so much.
You take care. Good luck to you.
Take care, Ruby. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Ruby Gillum, 93-year-old, oldest delegate at the Democratic National Convention,
yes.
Back in... July. It was just last month.
Yes.
Fun to talk with Ruby.
Yes.
She's a spunky lady.
Yes, she has done a lot. Yeah.
It's interesting the answer she gave to the CNN reporter, mm-hmm. I guess it was, and maybe a candidate will pick that up, because I don't know why we feel negative about the country. It's a very strange thing.
Well, I certainly don't feel negative about it.
And we're getting another call here now.
Okay.
Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
I disagree with about 98% of what Donald Trump says, but his referral to family planning to what he did is probably right on the mark. And they, you know, sitting here eating dinner while they were talking about selling body parts from the fetuses, and it's almost getting to the point where abortion is just another method of contraceptive, and it's crazy. You know, they don't even think twice about it, and it is a life, in my opinion.
Well, I think that everybody has their opinion on that. That's a very hot-button issue. It always has been, I think, in every election that has gone on in quite a while. And I certainly thank you for sharing your opinion.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And again, if anybody wants to express their opinion, 740-383-9944. It is interesting, Mary Ellen. Not a lot of abortions go on, but it's always a topic.
Yes, it's strange sometimes when it's brought up because it evidently bothers people that don't believe in it. But anyway, that's the situation right now. It is the law.
I was watching a program on PBS last night about the election of 64, which was Lyndon Johnson and Barry Goldwater. Mm-hmm. And Lyndon Johnson felt that that was the election that lost the South for the Democrats forever because of the Civil Rights Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that way?
Well, I think that had a lot to do with it. Yes, I do.
Do you think there is ever a way... It's been so many years now. Most of those people who were there then are gone.
We're going to get it back.
You think? It'll
absolutely.
What do you think will change?
Well, Hillary has a tremendous support from the black vote, and I think that's going to change it around.
Why do you think Donald Trump, and this is literally the number, 1% to less than 1% of the minority vote, why is it so low?
Well, they like Hillary. She has been their favorite for some time now. And when she was running against Barack Obama, of course, I think they supported him. But they're supporting her this time.
Hillary's got about an 8 to 10 point lead nationally right now, depending on which poll you look at. It's late August, 80 days out. How does she maintain that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is to be careful what you say. I think maybe not pay that much attention to what Trump says. Stay on target, what you're trying to get across to the people about what you want to do, and just keep saying those things over and over. That's what you have to do in an election. You have to say things over and over because you've got your message. You've got to stick to it.
As we get this close to the election, do you think that there is still any way that Trump could pull it off?
Oh, absolutely. I think he could. You never have an election over until it's over. I mean, he can do something that would take him right back up there. But I think it's going to be hard for him the closer it gets because I think people have his number at this point.
Could he? We were talking about the debates before Ruby called in, and you talked about the debate that Buck Reinhardt challenged you to, you didn't go to. Before he went on and didn't have a good showing, did you think that you had made a mistake?
I didn't know if I had or not, but I knew that it wasn't I knew it was not the thing for me to do. You in a campaign, you know whether you should do something or not. It's just instinct that you have, I think. And I just knew it wouldn't end up well if I did it, and I was glad I didn't do it. You know.
The Bush family has talked about not liking debates.
Yeah. I don't like them either, really.
Do you think they should happen? Do you think they're a necessary part of an election?
Well, In a way, they are. Now, I've done a lot of debates. I debated everybody else and against. Not until you got to the general, though. You did not debate in the primary at all. First time I ever met one of my opponents was in a debate. I didn't have a chance to really know what they were going to be like. You know, you should know that before you go into a debate, but I didn't have that opportunity.
There was a story the other night on one of the newscasts that I thought was kind of interesting. They talked about the last 20 years of presidential elections. And in 2000, George W. Bush wins, well, depends on what you feel the Supreme Court ruling was.
Yeah, right.
But he lost the popular votes.
Yeah.
Wins the election, loses the popular vote. In 2004, he won the election by one state. 2008, Obama wins by a landslide. 2012, Obama wins by a landslide. And currently, according to the Electoral College, Hillary, if the election were held today, would win by a landslide. Is the Republican Party becoming obsolete by the way they favor issues when it comes to Latinos and women?
I think that has a lot to do with it. It's their stand that they take on, say, climate control, the stand they take on gay marriage. And I think all of those things show that they're very narrow-minded. And back to the abortion issue as well. It's the Tea Party that has been the biggest problem, I think, for the Republican Party. And I think Paul Ryan is not doing a very good job as the speaker right now. I do not think he is controlling what should be going on, you know?
Why is it somebody is able to come in and, for lack of a better term, take over the Republican Party? The Tea Party sort of did it last time when Romney ran. Donald Trump has certainly done it this time. Why is that possible in that party? And not happening in the Democratic Party, even though Bernie Sanders, people call it a revolution that he led, it certainly came together in the end. It doesn't happen on the other side.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that a lot last time on what was going to happen, and it's all smoothed out on the Democratic side. And I think they worked very hard at it. There is a lot of beliefs with the Tea Party that are more on the radical side, I would say, and that has really kept Boehner from getting anything done. I think probably the same with Paul Ryan. I don't think they're accomplishing very much yet. So I thought maybe he'd be a little different, but I don't think he is. I don't think he's able to work it.
Has this election proven that there are moderate Republicans? Because there is a group. We had one of the ambassadors on earlier this week, Republicans for Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's your reasonable Republicans, and then there's your unreasonable Republicans, is the way I look at it. And the reasonable Republicans, you can work together with them, because you should be able to work together with them, because how else are you going to accomplish anything? And I'll tell you, I think Ted Kennedy was the best, and Orrin Hatch and some of the Republicans that he worked with, they got along fine.
Did you have Republican friends?
Oh, yes. I've got a lot of Republican friends. Yeah.
Do you think if you were in office today, you could have that same type of relationship? Everything seems so partisan now.
Well, I'll tell you something. When you're in office, you're the... What I was the treasurer of everybody. I wasn't just treasurer of the Democrats. I ran a very open-minded office and helped everybody. I didn't care what their politics were. Link Deposit was a prime example of helping people that were in both political parties. I didn't pay attention to that. And I think you have to, when you're in office, you have to treat everybody the same.
Why do people care now so much?
Well, I think it's trying to hang on to power. And I don't think that's a good way to hang on to power. I think people respect people that work together with everybody and try to accomplish things. They want to see things accomplished. They don't want to see everything going down the tubes every day.
And the story that continues to go on, Hillary Clinton and the emails, why does that continue to permeate?
Because they're dragging it out to make it an issue from now on until eternity.
Is there anything she could have done to stop it?
I don't think so, because they're playing it to the hilt.
The interview she did on Fox, did you see when she went on with Chris Wallace?
Yeah.
Did you think that was a good idea?
No.
What didn't you like about it?
I don't think she should have done it.
Do you think she said she got four Pinocchios the next
day?
Yeah,
I know, and I don't know. I still, when they play that back, and they talk about the three emails that had markings on them. How do you know when those markings were put on there? I've had enough classified information that I was responsible for that I know how things can happen. And I just think a lot of this is a railroad, and they're just trying to make it as miserable as they can for her. But she's running a good campaign, and I hope she continues to.
When do you think she hit her stride in this campaign?
I think the convention hit the stride. It was a marvelous convention. And they pulled in so many facets of our population in that convention.
I was at the Republican convention. What was your read on that event?
Well, it was very negative. The whole thing was a negative event. You don't want a negative event. You want a positive event. And that's what the Republicans had, was a negative event.
How does a negative candidate, like Donald Trump, in people's opinion, win that nomination?
Well, it's not the direction to go. He claims, you know, he's done this the way he has from the beginning, and we'll see if it continues to be what's going to happen in the future. Who knows? But he's evidently thinking that what he did in the primary will work in the general. And a lot of people are saying that it won't, and so we'll see.
You talked earlier on about you felt that the Columbus press was against you.
Yeah. Right, they were.
And we talk about the press now. And
well, they didn't know me. I mean, stop and think. I'm from Marion.
Right.
Okay, they didn't know what I could do. Buck Reinhardt had worked and worked and worked with them before he announced he was running for state treasurer, or he announced he's running for governor first and then dropped to state treasurer. So he had worked with them. They thought he was good at what he did, and that was the story.
Trump keeps complaining about bias.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a bias in the media?
No, I don't. I think they try to... he's the one that creates the bias. I mean, he's shutting off newspapers. He's shutting off the New York Times. I mean, to say you're not going to let the New York Times cover you, I think is pretty ridiculous.
Something he said, final question for this, time always goes so fast. He said something the other day, I don't have the quote in front of me, but that there was no way he could lose Pennsylvania, and if he did, then it's got to be a rigged election. Is that his out?
Well, he's trying to make it look like it's a rigged election, which we all know that it isn't, you know?
So is this his way to stay a winner, even
yeah.
if he doesn't win?
Right, he's got to have an out. You're
yeah.
right.
What do you think that a comment like that does to democracy?
Well, it makes us look like we're not doing things properly to probably to other countries, and I think they know that do with our elections. See, they're very on to what he's doing, and they cannot understand how he can survive the way he's direction he's going.
It's an interesting time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we do want to thank Ruby Gillum for calling in and Mary Ellen Withrow for coming on. It's always a lot of fun. And who knows what will happen between now and next month. I think one of the debates happens in September.
Good. So well, we'll have that to look forward to.
And talk about that. And I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about. Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States. Stay tuned to this station. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
383-1945. Address 206 East Center Street,